The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 516. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, it's the end of February. Well, almost. We got a couple more days left. But when it comes to the end of the month, that only means one thing. That is that my good friend, the man behind the Pop Culture Cosmos and quite a few other podcasts, Gerald Glassford, is going to join me right here on the PVD Cast to talk all about the world of professional wrestling in what we like to call the state of pro wrestling. The topics that we're going to cover are, of course, the upcoming WWE PLE called the Elimination Chamber, which happens this weekend. We're going to talk about the build to it and what we think about the overall selection of those individuals competing in that particular structure. We're also going to talk about the WWE ticket prices because they're up and down and all around. We'll even talk about AEW's ticket prices too because there's some weird things going on with it as well. We'll talk, of course, about the Brody King AEW ice situation, and we'll wrap up with a discussion of CMLL and how their business is being impacted by the violence in Mexico. Hey, but before we get to that, I want to mention something real quick, something that's going to be happening here in Columbus, Ohio, in about a month from now, at the end of March. March, actually, 28th and 29th to be exact, an event is going to go down here in Columbus, Ohio that brings in a lot of great talented people, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking about SPACE, the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. It's going to be held March 28th and 29th here in Columbus, Ohio. Well, technically Hilliard, it's a suburb. But anyways, where you can check out all kinds of great independent comics and art. And guess what? The best part, free parking, free admission. That's right. Come on down if you get a chance, if you're in the Central Ohio area. Come on over to the McCoy Center in Hilliard. That's where SPACE is going to be March 28th and 29th. I love going to the event. I've missed the last couple, so I am overdue for going. I'm probably going to be hanging out with many of the individuals that have shown up on this podcast throughout the years. It's a great event, so I'm going to be hyping it up over the next couple of episodes because I definitely want SPACE to pack that McCoy Center and have an excellent show. So if you're interested, you could check out all the details over at backporchcomics.com. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Gerald Glassford as we talk about the state of pro wrestling.
Ding, 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 and we're back. Back with another episode of The State of Pro Wrestling. I am Gerald Glassford for the Pop Culture Cosmos, Lakers Fast Break, Lakers Latest on the Fan Arc Network, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and more. Truly appreciate you joining us. Please make sure you like and subscribe, whether it's on John's outlets or mine. Please make sure you go ahead and like and subscribe. It helps gives out that algorithm thingy that goes ahead and hopefully gets a stranglehold on other people to go ahead and say, hey, come on over here. There are the drawing cards that they are at the State of Pro Wrestling indeed. But it wouldn't be a State of Pro Wrestling without my tag team partner. He is coming in right now. He is flying over the top rope. He is thinking moonsaults. He is thinking pescados. He is thinking topes. He is thinking somersault flips. The Iron Claw, yes, he's finishing up. That's his finishing move, the Iron Claw right there for you, which, again, one of the least believable maneuvers in pro wrestling when you really think about it. Okay, you're either crushing the man's brain and killing the guy, or it's really you're not doing much at all. It's either one or the other, because, you know, having man just pass out from a guy just putting your, you know, like that, you know, just grabbing it, just you're either killing him or you're not killing him, or he's fine. So,
well, I think that's wrestling logic. I think that's where we're faulty in, you know.
Well, before I introduce my friend, it's just that's how I smartened up. It's because I'm watching this as a 12, 13 year old kid in the early 80s. And I'm seeing this and I'm like going, these guys are throwing punches. And according to what I see in all these things, that, you know, they're like here every week throwing punches at each other. That's not humanly possible, is it? Let me take a closer look at this. So I slow the VCR down. He's not even hitting him, man. What's up with that? Oh, man. So there you go. That was my initiation in becoming, I guess, a smart mark, as they would say. But speaking of a guy who is a smarter than a smarter mark, it is a man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out today. And, of course, Matt Talk, which is not wrestling related, it's Matlock related, and of course also as well the world famous PBD cast. It is my tag team partner, John Orlando. John, great to have you here. Are you looking to do the shooting star press before you finish them off with the Iron Claw?
Not the shooting star press, since it doesn't go well for Lesnar. I'm not going to attempt it.
Oh, he tried to do it like three quarters of the way across the ring, you know. That's like, okay, logic should have told you when you went up, he is just a bit far. Maybe we need to go ahead and I'll just maybe I'll do a splash instead. There you go. It is John Orlando. John, great to have you here. Before we tackle any of the subjects today, I've got a beef. Because an old Jim Cornette video popped up in my algorithm where he talked about, and I, you know, through all the stuff that I've seen of his, I completely forgot it, or I wasn't even aware of it all. In Mid-South, he had his head shaved and in New Orleans. And I was just like, oh, okay, well, let me go back. I watched the footage of it. And the reason why it struck me is because he was fighting it. When he was woken up after he, you know, because it's usually the heel, when they get their head shaved, they got to be put out somehow, you know, like Gino Hernandez and Chris Adams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got to be incapacitated or something like that. And when they wake up, they're fighting it. They're fighting. They're resisting it and whatnot. And you can see Jim Cornette. They're holding, embracing Jim Cornette down because he would be slithering out there and whatnot. And then we get to 2026, John. And in Australia recently, we just had another head shaving incident. There was supposed to be another one scheduled this week in CMLL, but we'll talk about that later on here as far as their troubles right now. But there was one in AEW on a recent collision at the Grand Slam, whatever, Australian, you know, they were down in Australia and having this major show. And Wheeler Yuta lost the pinfall. Now, mind you, it's an intergender tag match involving Tony Storm and Orange Cassidy and all that. If you're into that silly stuff, that's fine. The believability factor went out the window when you watch the two teams interact with each other and all that. But the fact is that he just sat there and took his head shaving. Just no resistance, no fighting. He initially tried to escape, but somehow John Moxley, who I thought was on his own team, decided to stop him. I don't understand that logic. Is he a face? Is he a heel? I don't get that. But the fact is, if I'm having my head shaved and you're paying me extra for it, I'm going to make you earn it. I'm going to go ahead and make you say, hey, you know what? You got to hold me down. You got to brace me or you got to put me out, because I'm not going to go ahead and passively just sit there and take it while my entire head gets shaved.
I don't know what to say about the whole hair versus hair match. I think it was pretty obvious who was going to get his head shaved.
Oh, I But I meant as far as the resistance, you know, you're just sitting there. He just sat there. He's holding his own hair.
Yeah. Just looking at him. But this goes into the product of AEW is the lack of selling, period. Selling of anything. Pile drivers, vertebrakers, your head getting shaved, whatever. It's no sold. So I'm not really too up in arms over the fact that in this big matchup, because they've been hyping it for weeks. Because who was it? Marina Shafir? Was that the partner of Yuta?
Yeah, that was the partner, yes.
Yeah, they kept hyping that up. Like I said, I'm not surprised by it, but I don't know who's writing this, like this storyline, because Moxley, like being like a, I don't know, he kind of was like being a shogun or a sensei to Yuta, which I don't know.
He stops him and prevents him from escaping. Yeah. And then they just sit there and he just sits there in the chair to take it. And I'm just like, this is unlike any other head shaving I've ever seen in professional wrestling. And I know you could say, okay, well, I'm dating myself and all. No, it's just common sense, John. If I'm coming to you and I say, okay, you lost the match, you're a heel, I'm going to shave your head now. As a heel, you're going to resist as much as you can, aren't you? Because your head's being shaved.
I mean, I would, because I would not want my head shaved.
Yeah!
I mean...
not a stretch here.
No. No.
Just bothered me. And then the fact that they're, you know, Tony Storm and Orange Cassidy are doing dance numbers. I mean, Tony Storm was your probably your number two person in the company. You could say with legitimacy that Tony Storm is your number two most respected individual in the entire company behind MJF. And you have gone out of your way to knock her down the totem pole as hard as you can, doing all this other gimmicky stuff. A tag team with Mina Shirakawa that has gone nowhere. Just like the Hurt Business last year, you take a good thing and you ruin it. You absolutely ruin it.
I feel the same way about Jamie Hayter, who was a favorite of mine. She came back from injury and now she's stuck in the mid card, not doing anything. And now she's part of a tag team that, I mean, I guess we'll see where it goes, but I mean, they have a history of doing this. We get people that we really like and follow and want to get behind. And sure enough, the booking ends up taking that individual and making them almost worthless.
Yeah. I agree. And, you know, with AEW, we'll get to a little bit more. In fact, you know what? Let's go ahead and get into it now. We'll delay the Elimination Chamber talk on this.
Okay.
Because I wanted to go ahead and bring this up because Brody King, I mean... MJF does not have a long line of credible challengers, in my opinion. Adam Page, oh, yeah, they're 1-on-1. We know where this is going. Adam Page is going to lose to MJF because their ratings are a little bit better now. So MJF is in the spotlight. He's there right now. He's not making movies right now. So use him while you can. So he's going to go over the Swerve Stricklands. The MJFs, the Swerve Stricklands, the Adam Pages, the, you know, the Samoa Joes of the world. I guess Will Ospreay, you could say, if he comes back, but how much will he be back when he comes? How much is he going to be when he comes back? We don't know about his injury, but there are just no viable, really, contenders in my mind that I have to believe. I'm going to believe that it's going to win, John, in my opinion, right now against MJF. But there was one that they could have created that really could have garnered a following. And this is delves into real life issues. Real life issues are impeding into pro wrestling. And it's a shame sometimes when it does, but sometimes it's impactful when it is. And when in Las Vegas, Brody King, who's been known to be a non-supporter of ICE and the immigration here in the United States, had shirts to represent that. In Las Vegas here, when they were at the Palms for a Dynamite, it came across against a non-title match against MJF very clearly before the bell. Expletive ice, you know. And somehow mysteriously he was not on TV the next week to promote his match that he had earned for the championship match in Australia. They say he was in transit conveniently to Australia. Whether or not you want to believe Warner Brothers had something to do with that, or was it Tony? They just found a way to minimize his impact. This was a guy that, again, you had something that the fans were behind. The fans were supporting. They even supported him with a lighter expletive ice chant in Australia. They just chose, they could have had something with him, not necessarily emphasizing on that part of it, but he's a guy who had momentum. We talked about this last year with LA Knight. We talked about the year before with Sami Zayn. You know, when these guys have short run, huge momentum, you need to take advantage of it, John. I wanted to hear your thoughts. Did AEW blow it? Because, you know, they had a match in Australia and MJF, no cheating, no underminers, he just flat out won, making Brody King look even less effective. Did they blow it with Brody King?
Well, that's a great question. I'm going to say that I feel that we all kind of knew that Brody King was a nice placeholder for whoever was going to come down the pike, so to speak, to face MJF.
But could he have been more?
Right. That's the thing, because he's got a unique look. He's a big dude. He still moves around the ring very, very well for as big as he is. I don't know. I feel like if you're going to come out, you know, with t-shirts that say abolish ICE and are very anti-government and whatnot, I feel like you got to go like full throttle with that. You can't half-heartedly do it. I think you just got to go full throttle with it and see what happens.
And we're not making any political statement here, by the way. We're not making it. No, we're just saying, you know, when you have something that the fans are supporting, like with Austin 316, you just got to go all in on it, John.
Yeah, and look, I personally believe that those type of messages should stay in the locker room. Okay, I just believe that they shouldn't be out there in front of the public. But on the other hand, I do feel and I do believe that Brody King has a right to speak his mind. So I kind of get both sides of it. But ultimately, I think that Warner Brothers and AEW, they have to start realizing talent when they have talent. Because look, we just mentioned it just a few minutes ago with Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter. Those are two very talented individuals that are not getting a lot of TV time now. But you got to strike when the iron is hot. And I think that, yeah, no matter if you went the angle of coming up with some new creative storyline for Brody King and his kind of anti-authoritarian type of character.
And I know they were tying it into the network and the sale of the Warner Brothers to Paramount and how that ties into the government or Netflix or whatnot. And I get that. I understand that there was a lot of pressure, you know, maybe put on to them, or maybe worried that they might get a lot of pressure put onto them. But you opened the genie, you opened that bottle. Mm-hmm. The genie came out of that bottle and the fans were supporting it. And I don't know if you've ruined his career, or at least short term or whatnot, because he could still get over huge once things settle down in CMLL. I think Brody as a face and CMLL would be absolutely huge there. I mean, just huge, huge there, but the support for him there. But I think right now, when it comes right down to it, I think, you know, when you have that genie pop out of the bottle for a company in the position that AEW is in, where its future is tenuous right now based off that sale, you got to go all in. You got to say, okay, the network, you know, they're fighting against me, government's fighting against me. Just some type of scenario where you make it look more and more like you are really fighting for something.
And can we talk about how this story broke and how weird it was? That we had people stating that they heard that he was being held back off of the show. He being, of course, Brody King, that he was being held off
the
of
next
the Wednesday
week
show.
After, yeah.
Yeah. And then other folks, other journalists using their platform to say, no, he's not. I haven't heard anything.
He was in transit to Australia, supposedly, which is convenient because he was in transit to Australia. But the other individual wrestlers who were going to Australia were not there.
Yeah.
They were at Dynamite.
It was just a weird story, news story all the way around. But end result is I don't think that Brody King just having this one kind of incident, if you will, is going to have any negative effects on his career. Now, if it keeps happening, that might be a different story. Who knows? And again, it depends on, as we all know, with you know, corporate wrestling, case in point with WCW, if you don't have the support of the higher-ups, then you're going to struggle even more. And
let's put it this way. If they're going to have the chance will continue, and they take them off the air, that tells you all you need to know, John.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
And the thing is, he would be huge. If I was CMLL, I would call Tony Khan and say, hey, you know what? When we get back going regular operations, he needs to come down here and be one of our top faces right behind Mystico. He would be huge as a face in CMLL. I just don't understand the logic in not jumping all over this. But again, it was money right there on the table. I understand the political people just like scared away from going after it. But if you're the number two and a distant number two, you need to do something to bridge that gap. Okay. Cause you need to do something because NXT and TNA, however much you like to laugh at them, they've got now platforms which they could become as or more successful than your TV show. And seeing how your lack of promotion in Australia caused you to have one half the audience you had for the same show last year, John. That's one of the things I wanted to go ahead and talk into with tickets. We'll get into tickets right now with that. They went to Australia, John, for two shows, the Collision show and then a house show. The house show did nothing. I think under 2,000 fans or right around 2,000 fans. But the big show was about 7,000, 7,500. That was about half of what they did the last year. And you can't, going there for just a 7,500 house, or like going there for under 10,000 people in two shows, that's expensive. That's a money drain right there. And I understand you've got billions with the cons, but there's only so much money you should be spending. And it just does not send a good sign that even though your ratings are up, people are not attending your shows. People, they're not attending the shows in as much frequency as they were 2 years ago. But WWE, they can also say that as well right now. Mm-hmm. But right now with AEW, I see it as a concern because even though their ratings are, I guess Nielsen did another reset again.
Oh, yeah. Ratings.
Yeah. I don't get it. Maybe it's to, I guess changed around the 18 to 45 or whatever demographic that they changed around, but the total viewers changed. So almost seemingly every wrestling show, which was down, suddenly came back up. I don't know who got in their ear or whatnot, but I just think right now MJF is a great champion that needs support, but he needs a challenger. He needed actually someone to possibly even beat him if you'd have done that with Brody King and really got hot. But right now, it's going to be, I don't know what the future holds for AEW, but their ticket sales and taking a bath, literally and figuratively, in Australia is definitely not a good start to your year.
No, definitely not. Absolutely not. Look, here's an example of the idea of marketing. I saw yesterday, on one of the PVDcast social medias, an ad for TNA Wrestling, they're coming to Cleveland. I haven't seen an AEW ad in my social media in years. So we're falling into that trap of ECW on TNN. The only people that knew that ECW was on TNN was people that were already watching the show. So they got to do something, and I'm not sure that they have the, I don't want to say the intelligence, but I'm going to use that term. They don't have the intelligence to see what they're doing does not make sense, and they have to kind of pivot. They should have been advertising this Australia show heavily back in November in order to get folks out there. Did they send anybody over, Gerald, to do any type of press or anything?
They might have in that Brody King, I hope he did some press when he's out there because, you know, he supposedly got the jump on everybody else going on to Dynamite. But like you said, the from what I hear on the reports that they were did not do the kind of legwork, and they don't have a TV regular TV outlet there, so they didn't do the kind of legwork that they did in previous occasions there, which is a shame because again, it's disappointing overall, and it sends a message of where this this company's at. It's a problem because MJF is a great champion, is having great matches physically in the ring. He is at his peak right now. He could be at his physical and wrestling peak right now. Seriously, we could be watching probably his greatest run ever because of where he's at physically, where he's at age-wise, and because of the fact that, you know, he might be headed to the WWE at some point in time or might to movies. He might just say one day, you know what? I can't do this anymore. I'm going to go ahead. I've got all the stuff going on in my life. Otherwise, as far as a movie TV, I could be doing something else. So right now we could be seeing something where, you know, MJF is at the top of the food chain as far as what he's doing overall. And Tony Khan has to take advantage of it. And while it would be a great match between him and Adam Page, I'm not disputing that any way, shape, or form in the ring. I already know the outcome. I already know what's going to happen because, again, Adam Page is just he's a good wrestler, a really good wrestler, but he's just not someone we've seen right now twice already. Him as the world champion hasn't worked out.
Oh, no, and I was bored. This past Wednesday, I watched Dynamite in its entirety. And I haven't done that in several months. And the one thing I wanted to see was MJF. And he came out, and then they brought out Adam Page, and I was bored with the interview. I'm like,
oh, you mean okay. The promo of the year? The guy who has the best promo of the year, according to the Wrestling Observer?
Yeah. Anyway.
They voted on it. Supposedly okay. It is.
Okay. I mean, Page is a fine wrestler. I just, this whole thing about going to Australia, if you didn't put in the legwork, like, and it goes to show that there's nobody there to be a safety valve for AEW. There's nobody there to go, Tony, this is not a good idea. Or Tony, we need to have more people, more troops on the ground, so to speak, in Australia to hype up this event. There's no one there to be the voice of reason, I guess you could say, with Tony Khan, and that's been a problem since day one.
Okay. I agree. And the thing is, where is AEW going? I think it's a very tenuous time because they do have some momentum in the ratings. They do have some momentum that they could work with. They do have a champion that you can build around going forward. You just got to feed him viable contenders. And if you're knocking down one of the possible viable contenders in Brody King, which you already have, I think there should have been a longer buildup. You should have seen whether or not he was going to be the guy after beating handily MJF in that non-title match. See where that was going to go. Have him do interviews. Have him do, you know, as far as other matches, just to see how far his popularity was going to get. Have MJF be scared, you know, the old chicken blank heel, as far as, you know, trying to avoid anything to do a rematch with them. They did the rematch in 2 weeks and he was done. It was done and it's over with. And now it's off to the side for Mandy, for him, for Brody King. I thought it was absolutely just a waste of something that you could have taken full advantage of. Again, very controversial, but what does Eric Bischoff say? Controversy
creates cash.
Indeed. I don't know. That's my two cents. But it seems like you agree with me as far as how is, you know, AEW's been booked. AEW sometimes is such a great product to watch. You know, I know we've spent a lot of time bashing in, but a lot of times they are their own worst enemy. My friend.
Agreed.
Once again, it is, of course, my good friend, Mr. John Orlando. He of the PBD cast and Matt Talk. It is also me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching this. If you have thoughts on AEW and where they're at right now, again, I don't want to say that they're heading into a bad direction. I just don't know which direction that they're heading in right now. They had a little bit what could be perceived creatively, possibly even financially, a down year in 2025. 2026, again, it started out ratings-wise on a good note, and they have, with Will Ospreay back in the ground, coming back, to rumors of him coming back by All In. That's a possibility. I don't know if Will Ospreay the guy that you want to send us. Is he the only viable guy that you could say, you know what, I could see him taking the belt off of MJF?
Well, no, because they haven't built anybody, Gerald. That's why we're stuck with, Kenny Omega's not going to do it. I'm sorry. He's just not. You got Will Ospreay, as long as he stays healthy. We had something with Brody King. Darby, I think the ship has passed for him in a world title shot at this point. God, I wouldn't want it back on Moxley. I'm bored with the whole Death Riders click and want them to just kind of go do their own thing. Claudio, I could see out of that group being a viable contender.
But he doesn't cut a promo. That's the problem. He's just never developed that sort of side of his game. He's a great wrestler in the ring, but it's just everybody knows him for a certain. He reminds me of this generation's Haku. Does that make sense? As far as the tough guy, what he's going to bring. He brings a lot of legitimacy, but don't ask him to do a promo. And there you go.
He needs a Bobby Heenan.
He does, but even if that's the case, it's still only a certain level where he goes. That glass ceiling, though, we talk about the WWE's glass ceiling. That AEW glass ceiling is pretty hard as well, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't even gone into the fact about the women's part of it. Again, Toni Storm, we talked about her and her descent away from where she should be as far as the premier face of this organization. Could you even tell me right now who the champion, a women's champion of AEW actually is?
Yes, I think.
that answered my question.
Is that it Tekla?
It is. It is.
Okay. All right.
Because the fact that you hesitated was all I needed to know, my friend. That's all I needed. Go ahead.
No, I was sitting because they had an interview with Statlander, and I was like, I know Statlander was the champion, but I couldn't remember who beat her. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. But it tells you all you need to know. Yeah. If it doesn't automatic, because they do have 100 mid-level or lower level championships, and I get that, I understand that, but they only have really one major championship for the men and one major championship for the women. And if you don't remember who holds it, that's a problem. That's a problem. I mean, the women's tag team champions, again, all these major title holders outside of MJF, you do not know who, or you do not care who has it. That is a problem. As you know, and as I know, in wrestling, it's not whether they don't like you or they love you. It's if they don't care about you. And if they don't care about you, that is the absolute worst thing in wrestling, indeed, my friend. But any last thoughts on AEW before we get to CMLL and then the WWE to close out the show?
You know what? I don't think I have anything more to comment with AEW. I know I sound kind of being like a jerk, but we say it all the time. The booking and some of the decision-making is bonkers. Just that's the only way I can describe it, is bonkers
indeed, my friend. But if you guys out there have any thoughts on the PVD cast or here at the State of Pro Wrestling on the Pop Culture Cosmos, please let us know right down below in the comments. We'd love to hear from you, or popculturecosmos@yahoo.com. and I know, John, you have an email as well. What is that, real quick?
That is johnorlando@pvdcast.com.
There you go. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com. Well, once again, it is the State of Pro Wrestling. It is John Orlando from the PVD Cast, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching this thing. I just wanted to touch on real quickly because of the real world violence of after the I guess what happened with the drug lord. I think El Mencho, I'm saying that name correctly, was killed. This led to a backlash between Mexican forces and the drug cartels as far as battling back and forth. It's led people in very real world danger, not just Americans, Mexicans all over Mexico. It's been really something scary in several states across Mexico. And Because of that, they've closed down several shows. I know that on Friday there was supposed to be a hair versus hair match with Johnny TV. Although I think he's Johnny, but there's a Mexican name. He goes by whatever name that for whatever promotion he's working in. He has a different Johnny last name for. But there was a hair versus hair match scheduled for Friday again, which is going to be of concern whether or not they're going to run that show or not. But will these problems lead to something concerning overall as far as the downfall? It's already impacted CMLL's business, which was on fire even leading into the beginning of this year, still with Mystico on top and just absolutely just killing it as far as business. They were the hottest promotion on the planet for 2026 and 2025 and leading into 2026, excuse me. Your thoughts, my friend, if this will impact their business or will they rebound, regroup, and get it all back together?
Well, that's a great question. I believe they were supposed to have a show tonight in Guadalajara as well, and they got postponed or canceled. But they've also had, I know that there's been other things while doing some research for this part of the show. There was a football, or as we Americans call it, soccer. There was a big soccer match that was supposed to be happening that they also postponed. You cannot put your fans in harm's way to see, you know, to see your show. Just like earlier this evening, I watched The Daily Show and they had taped that during the blizzard. And I marveled at that. That's kind of a dangerous setup for fans to come out and see that show. And I think this is a little bit more deadly than a snowstorm. I mean, when you have bullets flying around, and it seems from everything that I've read, it happens out of nowhere. You know, that you'll just be sitting down and enjoying your evening meal, and then all of a sudden explosions and machine gun fire, and you have to drop, hit the floor. So it's going to be probably very problematic for any entertainment to go on in Mexico while this situation is still happening. Whether it's wrestling, whether it's football, whether it's whatever, I think that it is going to impact the bottom line. I hope that it doesn't impact the momentum that CMLL does have. We'll just have to wait and see. But I feel like it's going to have an impact all the way around, because how could it not? I mean, this is a big, dangerous situation that's happening in Mexico.
I agree with you 100%. And this is the type of thing, it won't kill their business. I mean, by, you know, the summer, it should come back to some extent. But the days of every week being a sellout at Arena Coliseo or their other major arenas that they run, those days might be numbered and those days might be gone, which is sad to see, because, you know, just the enthusiasm you're hearing and seeing the reports of sellout after sellout after sellout. And even if you're not a fan of Lucha Libre, but you're a fan of the pro wrestling business, you need to support this. And I'm not saying go watch their stuff or anything. I'm just saying just be happy that a company is achieving the kind of success they may only achieve very few times in their lifetime, if at all. I mean, most, you know, 99% of wrestling organizations will never achieve the kind of success that that CML did in 2025, John. So again, that's really what I want to stress, is that this is important for the professional wrestling industry, not just for Lucha Libre, not just for CMLL. This is important as far as a look throughout the world to know that there's a organization that is getting a million people in through the turnstiles, still in a day and age where prices are going up everywhere and things are happening all over the place and other things to distract and streaming and all that stuff. There's still a organization up until what happened was getting in 15 to 18,000 people seemingly every week through each show that they were doing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have to ask, who's the booker down there? I don't think I know who's on the creative team for CMLL.
That's a good question.
Because whoever it is,
I think it's Tony Khan. I don't think it's Tony Khan. So
whoever it is, I mean, hats off to them for being so in tune with what your audience wants and wants to see and needs to see. Yeah, I mean, they're doing a bang up job, whoever that is. I don't, like I said, I don't know who who's in charge.
That's what I'm asking now, and I'm seeing if there's going to give me an answer on that. Not Antonio Pena. I'll have to look it up. I'll see if on our next show we could go ahead and okay. bring that up. But because
Pena's AAA, correct?
Yes, Pena's AAA.
AAA.
Yeah. So when you type that in Google search, you know, who's the booker for CMLL, it comes up with Antonio Pena. I'm like, what? What?
No.
Way to go. Yes, we're not there yet with AI and with all this stuff that's going on. But we will go on and hopefully get that answer for you by this time next month. But it is, of course, the state of pro wrestling. But before we head it out, let's not avoid the WWE any longer, my friend. I've just brought up WrestleTix, one of the best places to go to gauge ticket sales for events leading up to what's going on. WrestleMania 42, 36,000 seats have already been distributed, which would not be too bad, mind you. But unfortunately for WrestleMania 42, they are behind double digits as far as is concerned, percentage-wise, from what they were this time last year leading up to the event. And the Elimination Chamber is not a guaranteed sellout as well. Both cities, the watch parties within 50 miles have been blacked out, and unless they get an authorization from WWE, they are trying to put the kibosh on it and say, you know what, if you want to watch it, go to it. And that's, to me, that's a little bit of a problem. Or watch it on the ESPN Unlimited app, which is still not available on YouTube TV, which I have an issue with entirely, but that's another problem for another day. Your thoughts, my friend, on this? Because the product is cold, in my opinion. The product right now is cold. The booking is cold. And people are not willing to pay these hot prices. A lot of people, including us, stressed on these prices being raised and higher since the TKO acquisition. So much that might have just been a cause and effect. But also, the biggest cause and effect is the cold booking right now in WWE.
Yeah, let's talk about the build for the four matches that are scheduled for it's Saturday, if I recall correctly. Yes, mm-hmm. It is a Saturday PLE. You know, I think the only one that's had a pretty good build is Finn Balor and CM Punk. I think that's had a fairly good build to it. Kind of
is CM Punk the biggest guy right now in WWE, in your opinion? Is he at the top of the food chain? I think he is.
I think either he or Cody is. And
I don't think I think Cody is. I mean, it's because he doesn't have the title. It just doesn't see. It seems like a little bit of the luster is lost off the American Nightmare.
Mm. Well, I think that those two, Finn Balor and CM Punk, are going to have a good match. I definitely believe that is going to be a great match. And that'll be match of the night, I'm sure, because I'm not a fan of the Elimination Chamber. I've never been a fan of the Elimination Chamber. I hate the structure. I hate the pay-per-view. And
tell
I don't
us how
understand.
You really feel, John. Tell us how you really feel. Hide your feelings, my friend.
You know, every year someone's going to get hurt Saturday. We know that. Every year someone gets hurt in this monstrosity of a stupid match that really doesn't mean anything. Oh, it'll tell you who's going to go for the other title, the other world title. Okay, but who cares? The whole idea about the Royal Rumble is that you win, you go. You get to point at the upper part of the arena and point to the WrestleMania sign. That's what you get out of it. And instead, they jam this stupid PLE in between Royal Rumble and Mania. The build for it has been ridiculously dumb because there's been no build. They've had everybody involved in other storylines, not paying attention to the fact that Elimination Chamber is coming up. Case in point, Drew McIntyre has interfered with Jacob Fatu and Cody Rhodes, and yet is Fatu or Drew in anything on the show for Elimination Chamber? No, they're not. So why are you wasting my time doing this, which, by the way, I would rather see Fatu and and Drew McIntyre go at it in a regular match than being involved in that stupid Elimination Chamber. But it's like that. It's Frankenstein booking, so to speak. Like, it's just a bunch of parts that they're throwing together. And, oh, yeah, we also have a PLE, by the way. It's happening this Saturday. There's, like, no thought put into it at all for the booking and for the build. So I will now get off my soapbox.
It's okay. It's really cool to hit. Yeah. Here you are. But you were so shy about your feelings there. I wasn't sure if you're going to let it all out. So I just wanted to make sure. You know, we're here for you, my friend. If you want to vent, we're here for you, my friend. Okay. But the build towards Elimination Chamber, the build for a lot of their stuff, the Royal Rumble, build towards that. I mean, they just replayed it to ESPN. This is what they should have done in the first place. Played it on ESPN. You know, this ESPN Unlimited app and all the confusion on who has it, who doesn't, do I need my mother's permission to get it, whatever is going on with this Unlimited app, forget it. Throw it out the window. Just throw it on ESPN and let 2 to 3 million people, some maybe even more for PLE, come to watch it. You're just missing that opportunity. Throw a bunch of ads on it, and there you go. This is just common sense. You spent so much money on getting the WWE ESPN, and you have like a 15th of people watching it now because of how badly you've mismanaged this with this app. Just throw it on ESPN. Throw it on ABC. It's right there for you. It is right there for you. I can't spell it out to Disney and ESPN any clearer than that, John. That's my soapbox, and I am now getting off. Hold on. I'm getting off now. There you go.
You know, the thing that I also was going to comment about is that not only do you seem to have just a bunch of people randomly thrown in these Elimination Chamber matches, but the women's match that's on the show is for the Intercontinental Championship. Why, if we're going to do that, why not have a women's match against or for the, I don't know, women's title? Like, I just, again, the booking makes
you mean
me
the United States title, right? Or was it?
Whatever one Becky Lynch had.
Oh, yeah, the internet. The yes, yes, yeah, for AJ Lee, for yes, for the Intercontinental.
Yeah, right. So
because Chelsea Green has a broken foot. So yes.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. Some injury. But I have no interest in the women's Elimination Chamber. And I know you probably do because Asuka is in it. So what's your thoughts about her being involved in this?
Well, it's fine because she's there. I just wanted to win at this point in her career. Just win a match at WrestleMania. I don't care what it is for at this point. She's already won 4 times the world championship. She's already won 5 tag team championships. She's already earned a spot in any Hall of Fame that you want to put on, even the pro wrestling one, which I give. Again, how do you pass by Becky Lynch, her, and Charlotte Flair off of the pro wrestling Hall of Fame? And then you put the Hardily Boys, as the as Jim Cornette puts it, in there instead. You know, it still blows me away. Okay, it's not the Hot Topic Hall of Fame. It's the should be the Wrestling Hall of Fame. But okay, whatever. But she's already earned her spot at all as far as her resume is already written. So I don't expect her with Rhea Ripley in the match and them deciding, you know what, right now it's pretty cold. Liv Morgan, one of my daughters actually excited and hopeful I can get a ticket. I don't know if I'm be able to get that. Spending $800 on a ticket is not what I want to do, but I'm trying to work my magic on some comps. And the fact that it's not selling as well as before, I may be able to get that done, but I don't know. That's a big maybe right now. I'm keeping my fingers crossed on that. So be that as it may, you know, Jade Cargill doesn't have an opponent. Bianca Belair has talked about a finger surgery that she has done. She has no viable opponents right now. As much as I like Michin, I don't think Michin is been elevated to that level. And unless you're talking about a hardcore match and asking Jade Cargill to go ahead and play with kendo sticks, I don't think that's going to be something that she's good at. Because Jade Cargill needs a lot of help. Jade Cargill needs a lot of help in every single match that she does. She's got a great presence, a great aura. You know, no one can take that away from her. But I think at this point, you need to start thinking about ditching the titles off of Io Sky and Rhea Ripley, and putting Rhea Ripley back in the forefront by having her win the chamber and having her go on against Jade Cargill. I think it's just a reality of the whole thing. And Asuka, again, Asuka, one of the greatest competitors in the past 10 years, men or women. She's already in her spot. Just get her win at WrestleMania. I don't care what it is. Have her do a feud with Kairi Sane. Because it's what they're doing to each other right now. I don't care. Just at this point, just get her win at WrestleMania, no matter what it is, my friend.
So you're predicting Rhea to come out of the Elimination Chamber for the women's side?
I think you have to. I think business dictates you have. There's okay. Rachel Rodriguez is big. It's huge. She's strong, but she has.
No personality.
Kiana James, people are like, still who? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
too soon,
and nobody really knows. Gilia, they've almost ruined Gilia so far. I mean, Gilia still has some cred, but you know, Gilia has not been given the right way of been booked the right way either. So, but Kiana James. No, she's just fodder. She's just fodder when she goes out there. So it is going to be Rhea. I think that's clearly. I think the odds are clearly in favor. Who else is in it besides Asuka? And one more.
Tiffany Stratton, who was.
Oh, Tiffany Stratton.
I that's who I think will come out of this, because I think really? That she needs a reset. I think this is a great way to get that reset. If hopefully she can remain uninjured, and that goes for all of the women in this match.
I don't look forward to a Jade Cargill or Tiffany Stratton match. Someone's going to really get hurt. Someone could legit get hurt, and it's not going to be a pleasant match to watch. We've already seen that match before, and it's not been pleasant.
No, you're right. What about the men? Who do you think might be walking out?
Well, you want to name the contenders for that, my friend?
Yeah, sure. We got Randy Orton, LA Knight, Cody Rhodes, Javon Evans, Trick Williams, and Jey Uso.
Trick Williams has been got a great future. Jey Uso is Jey Uso. I think the smart money is betting on Cody Rhodes or Randy Orton, who said this week he'd like one more run with a world title. He did mention that, conveniently timing, of course. I personally would love to see LA Knight. Mm-hmm. I think they're still, no matter how much, he's like a cockroach. No matter how many times you try to squish the cockroach, he always seems to get back up and still do something. And he's still getting people excited over him. He's still getting his entrance. I don't care if you want to say it's Attitude Era 2.0. It is still getting people interested. It's still getting people excited, and you could really do something special with him versus the Vision, however many Vision people are left, because, you know, Bronson Reed just hurt his bicep supposedly. So legit. So he could be out for a little while. But again, it just seems like if you gave it some fresh life, you could go. I mean, Cody Rhodes, I think, is probably the one I'm probably going to go ahead and say is going to go ahead and win. Whoop-de-doo. And that's the problem. That's why you asked me earlier about Cody Rhodes and CM Punk, who is the guy right now in WWE. We just mentioned Ryan. Cody Rhodes, it's whoop-de-doo right now, because, you know, as great a job as he does, it's just become a little stale. I really think you might get a jolt of life if you put LA Knight in a chance to win.
I agree with everything you said. I think that smart money says Cody Rhodes wins, but I would like to see LA Knight win. You know what, and got to give the booking team a little bit of credit, putting in Trick Williams and Javon Evans, new faces.
Oh, those two are fantastic. Those two are fantastic. The sky is the limit for both those guys, John.
Sure, absolutely. And Obafemi, another newcomer, mm-hmm. that we saw at the Royal Rumble, yes. who was very impressive and certainly turned some heads. But the point is that exactly what you said is it's getting predictable. You know, Cody's in the match, so we're probably going to say he's going to win. Again, the rumor is Fatu, Drew, and Cody at WrestleMania. I'm not big on that idea. I don't like that idea at all.
You do.
At least Fatu's in it, I guess. I guess that's better. It makes it somewhat better. or maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, outside the addition of Jacob Fatu, you're talking about circa 2021, 2022, as far as the main events that we're seeing with CM Punk, Roman Reigns, and what you're talking about there. I just want to see fresh life into this. You know, you're talking, I don't know if they still have plans for Brock Lesnar versus LA Knight. I would really want them to do Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar. I really think that would be the match that people would rather want to see now, and elevate Obafemi now and say, oh, well, he's the guy that for next year's WrestleMania or next year's. Do it now. He's got some momentum. See what he can do it now. Oh, and people like, oh, the push comes too soon, too fast, too soon. Your company needs it right now. Your ticket sales are not drawing. They're not getting ratings wise. They're not, well, okay, they are, but these new numbers, they are a little bit, they're going in the right direction. But still, again, the product is not fresh and it needs to become fresh. And you have individuals like Javon Evans, like Trick Williams, like Obafemi, like LA Knight that still get people excited, still get people energized, that I think you might need to lean into a lot more at a much higher level, John. And that's, that's two soapboxes in one time. Yeah, I got to get, I went off on a soapbox and I went on to another soapbox, but I don't know if you concur or if you disagree, and I would respect your decision either which way.
Well, here, you mentioned the one person that I really thought about yesterday when watching Raw, and they brought out Brock Lesnar. First of all, I still have missed the episode or missed where they allowed Paul Heyman to be back as his advocate. I don't know.
Yeah, that's it just seemed to happen. I think, didn't I send you the clip when he came out with Paul Heyman, and he did his entrance so badly, he fell backwards.
He flipped. Yeah.
Okay, Paul Heyman was there. Yeah.
Well, I agree with you. When I saw Lesnar and they did the promo and they talked about how it's an open challenge and here's the cities he's going to be in, I was like, man, would this not be awesome if, like, at the very end, it's Obafemi? Because that would just, to me, be the most awesome thing. I mean, it beats Obafemi versus Kit Wilson. Let's just be honest, okay? Yes. I mean,
sorry, kid. Everybody loves you. Although my daughter did say, you know, like everybody else on the planet, she likes his theme song. Likes his theme song. Theme song's good. Theme song is good, John.
Is as good as Joe Henry?
The Joe Henry thing is probably fading for me a little bit, so I'd have to say right now, yeah. Although I would have loved, you know, the toxic masculinity. I would have done a song. I would have told him, hey, you need to do something like this. I'm Kit Wilson. You are not Kit Wilson. You know, it's just something like that where I'm just like showing you up, just like a total heel song with him singing it off key deliberately would have been even better. But this has been a very catchy song that a lot of people like, but you're right. Obafemi needs to be pushed now, and there's no better way to do it right now with Brock Lesnar. And then Gunther, what do you do about him? Because Gunther just said he wants to retire Brock Lesnar. So where do you go from there?
Wow, that would be, I haven't heard that. That would be just one colossal match.
An Atlanta interview, I think Monday as we're recording this.
Wow. I mean, well, we know Lesnar's retiring. We know that. He's come out and said it. He's one of, you know, several that have retired over the last year or so. But yeah, him versus Gunther. I mean, think about how much that makes Gunther even more of a giant killer, if you will. I mean, he's retiring.
I would save that for SummerSlam, though. I would save that for SummerSlam and do Obafemi now.
Okay. Okay.
But do you disagree or agree?
I'm gonna disagree. I think you have to go with Gunther and Brock Lesnar just because people are still remembering all the individuals that he retired, which I know you're saying, how could you forget about John Cena and Goldberg and AJ? But definitely fans have short memories nowadays. So I think that you have to have Gunther beat Lesnar first, because I think Obafemi still has some time. That, think about this. What if indeed he being Gunther defeats Brock Lesnar, and then we have some type of mix-up where Obafemi comes out and challenges Gunther.
Yeah, but you could save that for down the road because you're on a limited time frame with Brock Lesnar. That's sure. The thing. So if you have him retire at WrestleMania, you lose that potential big match with Obafemi.
Okay, that's good point. Good point. Okay.
Plus, you need to sell out 2 days at SummerSlam. So.
Well, that's right. It is a two-day event. It's 2 days now. Jeez. Where's it at this year again? Is it Jersey?
I don't know if it's Jersey or not, but I'll have to wait and see. Let me go ahead and SummerSlam. But before, while I looked it up, can you go ahead and give everybody a recap of what's going on with the PVD cast?
Yes, absolutely, Gerald. I'd love to. The PVD cast is my own personal podcasting project. I drop episodes on Thursdays. It's available at pvdcast.com or wherever you find great podcasts. This week's episode is a delightful interview with Helena from Art92 Studios. She is in England. She has a comic book out called Clear Run, which talks about her and her partner, Damien. They adopted a greyhound a couple of years ago. And so this is all about his backstory, about adjusting to living with two new human beings, and then some fun stories. It's really great. And I'm just going to plug it too real quick. Damien has an awesome science fiction pro wrestling comic that he does called the Galaxy Grappling Alliance. We don't talk about it on the show. You can just look up Damien's appearance from last July, which is episode 485, if you want to know about pro wrestling in space. What more could you want, Gerald?
What more could you want, my friend? To answer a couple things, SummerSlam 2026 will be in Minneapolis. Which will be very interesting for a lot of different reasons, both on and off the court. And the CML booking team was voted number 3 in Booker of the Year and Wrestling Observer Awards, was the booking team of Rivera and Feliciano for CMLL. And to Antonio Pena was at one time in his life the booker for CMLL, but he moved to create that AAA thing that is now part of the WWE. So yes, I think it didn't have to wait. I got all the questions taken out. All right. Taken care of. Yes.
That's why you're the best.
I know. I was Bing and Google both working together as a tag team, but we work together as a tag team. It is John Orlando from the PVD cast along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again for watching, listening. Truly appreciate it. Please like and subscribe. Leave your comments below. AEW, CMLL, WWE, Japan, whatever you guys want to go ahead and ask or talk about or have us talk about on the State of Pro Wrestling next month, let us know right there in the comments below. So for John Orlando, my tag team partner, it's Gerald Glassford. We're going to go ahead in for the pin and get the job done because we are the best tag team out there in wrestling podcasting, and that's the State of Pro Wrestling from your friends at the PVD cast and the pop culture cosmos. Ding, ding, ding.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Gerald Glassford, talking about all of the wrestling news that's been going down these last few weeks. And I got to be honest, it was really kind of an interesting situation that CMLL finds itself in. I didn't know too much about the situation and read up on it. So I want to thank Gerald for forcing me to do some homework so I can be a more knowledgeable wrestling fan. But definitely check out Gerald's other podcasts. I mean, he's got so many. Lakers Fast Break, Inside Football, Fantasy Football. He's got tons. So again, just check out popculturecosmos.com. Or go over to YouTube and go in to the search and look for Pop Culture Cosmos, and you'll find all of his shows. Gerald's a heck of a guy. Always look forward to hanging out with him and talking wrestling, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation. And so there's a couple different ways where you can let me know if you did or did not enjoy our comments, our opinions, our thoughts, and insights. First of all, you could shoot me an email if you like. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can drop me a line over on the Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. @PVDcast is the handle for all of those outlets. And I'm still on Twitter. I know. I should get rid of that cesspool of an app. But anyways, still on Twitter, at PVDMVP. Now, maybe you'd like to spread the word to some folks as to where they can hear the show. Well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every single new episode. But it's also available through all of your major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go into your app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while we're talking about those outlets and apps, do yourself a favor, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the show, and also rate and review the show. It helps us out in the algorithm, and it's super important. So that's why, again, I ask you to just go ahead and rate and review. And there's even a third way that you can check out the PVDcast. That is every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I do a little live broadcast through the Facebook page. So there you go, three easy ways to get your fix of the PVDcast. That's PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet and app, or through the Facebook page on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, for that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2026.